have the platform. Men, step up and keep the kids. I had to keep all four of mine when she went to stuff, so you can too. I didn't get any amens out of the men, so nobody liked that. Do want to remind you that if you have not registered to vote, the community of faith here at NEC, we strongly believe in voting as Christians. We feel it's a part of our responsibility as a Christian. So if you've not registered to vote, you can see Matt Hayes, who's sitting right here at the Connection Center. We have cards out there so you can register to vote. And if you have any questions about what's coming up, he can answer those questions for you that are going to be voted on in November. He actually has a sheet out there showing what all is about to be voted on, so you can stop and see that. Also, last Sunday, during our anniversary service, when Pastor Paul Brownback, our overseer, was speaking, he wrapped within the whole of his message a word from God to the community of faith here at North Elevation Church. And within that was Pastor Dwayne White's word. He was here also. He is the leader and head of the O2 network that we belong to, and he was also here for our anniversary service. And Pastor Paul also unpacked what God has spoken to Dwayne for this community of faith. If you were not able to watch the service online while you were gone, I'm going to strongly encourage you to go hear the word, because the future is going to be amazing. You've got to hear what was said and how it was put together and what God was saying to Pastor Paul and Pastor Dwayne for North Elevation Church, for this community of faith. So you can either go to our website and listen to it, or you can go to Facebook, or you can go to YouTube, North Elevation Church, and you can watch the service. If you don't have much time, you can pull it through and get to the sermon, but you need to listen to it. Especially if you are a part of this community of faith, you need to go listen to that sermon and listen to what God said to us last Sunday. Now, we're going to step into, it's been a couple of weeks, we're going to step into part four of my series, Who is God? And I'm going to do a very brief review here. I'm going to hit some high points of some things I've already said, and then we're going to move on. Billy Graham said, most of us know about God, but that is quite different from knowing God. In late June, God began to speak to me through the Holy Spirit in my prayer chair as I'm looking out into the woods, which is a wonderful thing. I can get caught up just looking at the squirrels and the birds and all the other stuff, and the bunny rabbits that come up to the glass and all of that. But when God speaks, everything else goes away. And the Holy Spirit began to speak to me that God said that my people don't know me. They know some about me, but they don't really know me. And then he began to instruct me, saying that I need my people to know me, and you know what you need to do. And I do, and that is that we've got to learn the names of God. Important that we learn the names of God. You cannot, any way, within one name, fully understand who God is. One name cannot hold the wholeness of who God is. We've got to know his names. We've got to learn them, and we got to understand what they mean, and we got to start using them. It's very important, because it's vital to knowing God fully and completely. It's to know the names of God. It's important. Now, I see guests that are here today. I'm about to read several pen truths this morning, more than normal. Pen truths are lessons I've learned. Some of them not always good, you know, getting in trouble lessons from God, you know, that I have penned in my journals. Some of them are just lessons. Others are revelations. And other things are just insights in studying the Word of God that I have penned in my journals. Today's first one is a repeat from the last couple of sermons. We must never allow God's names to be emptied of their true meanings, never to be discarded as unimportant. We must know his names. Pastor Tony Evans said, the bad news today is life has problems. The good news today is God has a name for them. Amen. Praise God. God's got a name for them. And you need to go back and watch the sermons. The last three. If you haven't caught them all, I'm going to encourage you to do the same thing. Go online. Go to YouTube. Go to Facebook. Catch up. Know what the names of God are. Make it a part of your devotional this week. Get to know the names of God. Another pen truth, God's names contain tremendous power, and we need to use them. Now, I'm going to read a quote here in just a moment. My son is going to be extremely proud of me if he's watching this morning. Because if there's anything that my son knows, he knows all there is to know about Superman. You didn't know that when he was up here playing the drums before they couldn't come anymore. You know, he's up there. Sometimes I wonder, is he worshiping and wondering what Superman said? I mean, Daniel knows Superman. And I'm about to read a quote from Superman in one of the movies. Now, I don't know what movie it was in. I don't know what part of the movie it was in. My son could tell you. He knows exactly what movie and what part of the movie it happened. But it's something that was said that's very important today as we move forward in learning another name of God. Superman is responding to someone, and he says this to him, "Do you think I have enough power to deliver you from the fire, but not enough power to deliver you safely home?" Begs the question, are we the same way? We believe God to deliver us from fire and hell, but we don't know whether or not we can trust Him to watch our back here on earth. Come on. We can trust Him for salvation, but we don't trust Him with anything else. The same God that's going to make sure you get to heaven, He can take care of everything else you face. Do we only trust Him in a crisis, or do we trust Him every day for everything? Do we only trust Him to get us out of the fire of hell, but then we just don't know whether or not we can trust Him to watch our back, or even to watch what's coming and what we're facing? We need to answer that question. Do we trust Him? Very, very important. We ask ourselves, do we trust Him? Are we really sure we trust Him? Important that we answer that question. A New Penn Truth today, my God is an all-sufficient. My God is all-sufficient. I'm going to say it again. My God is all-sufficient in every need that we will have. Now, we're going to do something. Kathy, leave that up. Now, we're all going to say this together. But you're going to take the we out and you're going to put I. It is time that we confess with our mouths so my ear can hear that my God is all sufficient and start believing it. But you don't know my circumstances. You don't know mine. But I know this. Your God is bigger than your circumstances. Regardless of what you want to say, my God is a good, good God. Good Father. Now we're going to read this together. You're going to replace the we with an I. Oh, and say it loud enough that your ears can hear it. Don't whisper it so you're kind of hearing it in your head voice. I want you to speak it out loud so that your ears say, oh, that's you. Now let's read this together and replace the we with an I. My God is all sufficient in every need that I will have. You got to start believing that because it's a truth. Remember, it's doubt that keeps us from things. Faith causes things to start happening. What are you going to believe? You're going to believe He's all sufficient? Would you stand with me as we honor God with our opening passage of Scripture this morning, as now we begin the journey into part four, who is God? In Genesis 17, verse 1 says, "When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, 'I am God Almighty, El Shaddai.'" Father, we come to you now. And we make a quality choice not to be distracted. If I have to turn my cell phone off, I'm going to do what's necessary to hear your voice today. And we're going to open our hearts to hear what the Spirit of the living God is saying today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. He said that He is, I am Almighty God. I am all-sufficient God. Remember, El means deity and power. Shaddai means Almighty God, all-sufficient God. There is nothing that God cannot provide for you. Nothing. But it's amazing how often we push the hand of God away from us for the very thing we want because we want to keep control of things. I'm going somewhere this morning, so hang on. Buckle your seatbelts. I'm going to meddle, okay, this morning. He is El Shaddai, Almighty God, all-sufficient God. Pin truth, we must see God as our source and supplier of life-giving provision. Now, I want you to see that. You need to get a picture of it. You need to get an active movie picture flowing in front of you that your God is the source and supply of everything you need. You need to see Him providing for you. Can you see it? Will you allow yourself to see God providing for you? Or do you have to be in control of the provision? Ooh. Can you just see God doing it for you? You know what? Our lives would have way more peace if we just get out of the way and let God be God. Let Him be El Shaddai. Let Him be the all-sufficient one instead of you being the all-sufficient one. Now I'm going to meddle. Your grown kids might appreciate that if you just quit meddling. And just trust God. My kids will attest, we don't. We trust God. We've got to start doing that. Is He all sufficient or not? It's a question you got to ask. Oh, man. Wish the Cowboy game had already started. I just stayed home. We must see God as our source and supplier. You've got to see it. You've got to see Him providing for you. Whatever your situation is right now, can you see God providing it? Or do you see yourself making it happen and you've got to work your way in and somehow make this happen along with God? I got to help God. No, why don't we just let God be God and trust Him completely and fully? Now let me ask this question. What do you see as your deficit in your life that you are trying desperately, desperately trying to manage on your own now? The reason I laugh is I was horrible about this. Wherever there was a deficit, can't even say it now, deficit, I was horrible about trying everything possible to manage it and produce what I wanted. Yep, you heard her. Yep. Never let it be said to my wife's not honest. You're trying to manage it on your own. Let me give you three of the wisest words you'll ever hear. If you want to attribute them to me, that's fine. But here's three of the wisest words you'll ever hear. Stop. Relinquish control. Stop. Relinquish control. Well, God, I'm going to let you be El Shaddai. Have at it. I think I need to intervene a little bit here. Come on. Oh, well, that's not working. You can be El Shaddai again. Yeah. I need you to be all sufficient here. Wait a minute. Well, you're going to, no, not that. It's got to stop. We are postponing, I'm going to say it because it needs to be said, we're postponing our miracles. Because we don't get out of the way. Postponing our miracles. We must depend on El Shaddai, the Almighty God who's all-sufficient, who can provide anything you need. Anything you need. Almighty God. He's amazing. El Shaddai will take care of you as you go through trials. Man, when we're going through trials, that's when we've got to hit the stop button and relinquish control. Because once we hit trials, it's amazing how we try to control the situation. And we need to stop and let God be God. He'll get you through your trials. He'll bring comfort to you when you need it. And He will provide the financial resources you need if you'll start accepting that He is El Shaddai. What about praying in the name of El Shaddai for your provision? Instead of, God bless my ideas because I think they're better than yours. One thing I've learned about God, His way is different, and it's a whole lot better, and it's never the way I thought it through. I say this off and on. I never get to do what I want to do, but what God wants me to do works. He's good. I pinned something about that that I think is probably the best thing I've ever pinned, so hang on. Reality checks what I'm calling it. God has thousands of years of experience taking care of stuff compared to your limited time of taking care of stuff. As I would say in some of my texts when I'm texting people, men and different, enough said. What is our limited time compared to the God who created everything? He has way more experience at taking care of stuff than we do. If we would just listen to Him and then make the decisions we need to make based on what we're hearing from Him, it's amazing how much stuff would start working out. Because He's got way more experience than we do. Now, let me step over here. Three reasons we don't want God to be all-sufficient. The reason we don't want Him to be El Shaddai. Three reasons. Either, one, I want to keep an iron clamp on everything. Two, I want the glory. Or three, I just don't trust Him. And all of that's got to go away. And humility's got to take over, and we've got to start trusting El Shaddai. Got to start trusting El Shaddai. Now, let me drill down within what I said. God has thousands of years of experience taking care of stuff compared to your very limited time of taking care of stuff. We have to make a decision to get out of the way and let God be El Shaddai in our lives. And the reason we need to do that is because stuff will start happening sooner than later.
That's right.
It's just the truth. I mean, there were times Rochelle just wanted to pick up something, knock me out long enough so God could do what He needed to do. She didn't use the word stop meddling, but she used some other words that made me mad. But she was right. Get out of the way. Get your hands off of it. Quit trying to work this thing and let God be God. Now, let's get to the heart of the message. Oh, that wasn't the message? No, we're fixing to go to the heart of the message now. There's four places that I could have gone with the reality of who God is Almighty God, all-sufficient, El Shaddai. But the Holy Spirit made it very clear that I was only to land in one place. And here's the truth. Here at North Elevation Church, we are all about the one. We're all about one person. As I've told community leaders, if one person shows up and you can't unpack what you just worked on all week and you don't love one person enough to do it, then you probably don't need to be a community leader here at NEC because we're all about the one. It's not about numbers. It's about a person. So this message coming down to one thing out of four that I wanted to cover all four and just I would have had to hit overviews on all of them. If it helps one person in this room, today, and you walk out of here and say, well, wish I'd heard something. If one person gets what they need today, this whole service was worth it. One person. And the first, and what we're going to talk about today is El Shaddai will provide material needs. And we're going to spend our time in the Old Testament. And I'm starting to get pretty irritated about things I'm hearing and things I'm having conversations with Christians about, oh, the Old Testament, we don't read the Old Testament, it's not relevant. Wrong. It's incredibly relevant. Those stories, truths, and revelations in the Old Testament, you need to know them. Because they point to today. They point that right now, that is for you. This thing about we just stay in the New Testament, wrong. The Bible says in the New Testament that the whole word is profitable. That means from the very first word in Genesis to the very last word in Revelation, this book is profitable for your life. And that includes the Old Testament. Well, I don't like the way they did things Old Testament. It doesn't matter. You need to learn what happened in the Old Testament. And we're going to do that today. And we begin with Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 5. Very simple verse. Very powerful verse. And God says, I had led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandals have not worn off your feet. I'm in awe of that statement. And the reality that their clothes didn't wear out, their shoes didn't wear out. Can we be in awe anymore of what's said in the Bible? Think about that. Get a picture of that. We change shoes the moment they get scuffed. Well, they're worn out. No, they're not. Think about it. 40 years, clothing didn't wear out, shoes didn't wear out. He's El Shaddai. Well, that was the Old Testament. No, he's the God of the New Testament. He's the God of the Old Testament. He's the God of right now who provide for you what you need. Well, that happened back then. He won't do that now. Oh, yes, he will. Don't say that. That's unbelief. Belief says he'll do that now, just like he did then. He's El Shaddai. If that's what you need. El Shaddai took care of their material needs, correct? He did. Read all that he did for them. And El Shaddai will take care of your needs. That is not a time past that he don't do that anymore. Man, it would be awesome for us to have the time to spend 3 or 4 hours and I could share missionary stories, even from my own brother, how things just continue to survive and happen and never wear out down there in the jungle, and it makes no sense. It makes total sense. El Shaddai's in control. And I'll be going back next year, Gary and I, and if you want to go sleep in a hammock for 2 weeks in heat that's unbearably worse than what we had this summer, you can go with us. But you better not have any fear, because we walk into some really interesting things. Now, we're going to move into another story. Elijah. Elijah is having to deal with a weak king, Ahab, and a very evil queen named Jezebel. Works through her husband to try to control stuff. So Elijah's having to deal with these people, and now he's fixing to have this amazing moment against all of their false prophets. Very intense time where he is in a spiritual battle with all the false prophets. I don't have time to go read all of it, but you need to go into Kings chapter 19 and before that and everywhere else you can look about the story. I'm going to be in 19, but you've got to go back to 18, some other places, and then other places in the Bible where you can look at the story. But he's about to have this major encounter with all the false prophets. I mean, there's some massive, massive miracles of supernatural move of God while he's facing these false prophets. And this guy comes off of that victorious in God. I mean, it's awesome. Man, he's on a high, coming off the high of the battle with the enemy. And Ahab runs home and tells Jezebel what just happened. And he killed all of the prophets by himself. Read how many prophets there were, and he did it himself. And Jezebel says, not today. And she puts out the word, I'm going to kill you. He has all those prophets killed. He has the authority by himself. He has the control to have all those prophets killed. What a victory. And then Ahab runs home, tells his wife, hey, this is what happened. And she says, And she puts it out that she's going to have him, you're going to die. He's at the top of the mountain, and he runs for his life. Okay, one of those moments in history where you're going, what? You just had these massive supernatural miracles, and you killed all these prophets, and you're afraid of Jezebel? We do exactly the same thing. We fight these battles. We have our victories. And then one word from the enemy and we crash. So don't point a finger at him. We've done the same thing. Now, we're going to pick up after he flees and what he says. 1 Kings 19, verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. We've all sat under broom trees, we just didn't know it. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." If you read into the reality of that and you check out when he's talking about his fathers before him, when you look at that, he did the same thing they did, and now he's down on himself. They would have great victories, and then one word from the enemy, some little thing happened, and they would just fall apart. And he says, "I'm no better than they are, so I'm just, you know, just take me home." I did the same thing. And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. Now, this is a guy that's pretty depressed at this moment, but he lays down under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his hand a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank and went in. Listen to this. Awesome. Can we be in awe this morning? And went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights to Hebron, the Mount of God. Went 40 days, 40 nights on that food. Wow. Talk about being stuffed for 40 days on two meals. It's a supernatural meal provided by an angel. Elijah was fed by an angel after a great battle when he tanked. We've all done the same thing. Personal story. It's a long time ago. Rochelle and I are having a conversation in our little rent house. We had sold our home. We're in a little rent house. Four kids. And that evening, we're having a discussion that we don't have enough money to buy enough groceries for our four kids, and we are budgeting every drop of gasoline. And we're having this conversation, and I make the comments. I said, "Rochelle, we gave up everything. I gave up a good paying job, making 60% less than what we were making. We made the sacrifice to follow God in the ministry. But on top of that, we had just fought some major battles and came out victorious. One of them was Tiffany had a physical condition, and that was a wild season, and we were fighting that battle, and Tiffany came out of that with an absolute miracle where her physical body was made perfect and whole overnight. Shocked everybody. Our youngest daughter, our baby girl, was having some major medical issues, rushing her to the hospital, and God miraculously healed her body. That was just two of many battles we were fighting, and we're at this moment. It's really interesting. We were at this moment, and we'd come off of this, all this stuff, and then all of a sudden, one word, "You don't have enough money to buy enough groceries, and you don't have enough money to pay two of your bills." Now, let me step aside, put that on pause. I'm about to say something that's going to rattle some cages, and you need, but it's got to be said. We never, ever did not tithe 10% of our income, ever. Even in that situation, tithe came first because we believe he is El Shaddai. So we're having this conversation, and then we went to bed under the broom tree. Kind of went to bed a little bit down. Had a wonderful night's sleep. I bounced out of bed that morning, got ready for the day. I was ready to tackle the day. And I stepped out the front door and caught my eye, the corner of my eye. the mailbox lid was open. I'm thinking, they don't come at 7 in the morning. And there's an envelope in there like this. Now, this has to be said, and Rochelle will attest to this truth. Nobody, I mean nobody, even our closest people to us, nobody, family, nobody knew our situation because we didn't talk about it. We didn't air it on Facebook. Nobody knew. We did. Kids didn't know. And I see this envelope, thick envelope. I'm like, oh, somebody's leaving me a bunch of junk. I grab the envelope, and I'm standing on the front porch, and I start realizing it's money, cash money. Who puts cash money in the mailbox? Not smart, right? Lack of wisdom from somebody. Nobody knows anything. Open up that envelope, and every penny that we needed was in the envelope. Let me tell you some more. You need to know it all. My El Shaddai, it was not just enough for everything we needed. It was more than enough for the next week. I am totally convinced that an angel stuck that up there. He was hiding out somewhere to make sure nobody got it. I don't believe in all that, Pat. Well, that's just tough. There was an angel out there watching over that money. You don't put cash money in a mailbox. And nobody's name was on it. Nobody to this day has said they did it. El Shaddai, His grace, His mercy, His suddenly in your day of need. Who are you going to trust? I could have got up that morning and said, you know, the heck with all this stuff. I'm just going to have to go talk to the pastor and tell him I'm going to have to take a second job. I know that when I came on staff, I guaranteed I would not take a second job because that was part of the deal. You don't work, you don't come on staff here and have to be bivocational. You have to be full-time. You just got to figure this out. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to have to tell them. If they let me go, they let me go. I could have done that. But no, we went to bed and said, we'll just trust El Shaddai. And he came through. Somebody needed to hear that story this morning. Diane H. Moody said, El Shaddai, my all-sufficient God who is able to handle all my needs. Everything I will ever need, I can find in him. Think about that for a moment. Think about that for a moment. El Shaddai, do you sense the power he offers us in those words? There is nothing, absolutely nothing in your life that he cannot handle. When are we going to get to the point we believe that? You know what would be a good time for you to start believing that? It's the next time something happens. You just say, no, I'm not going to be moved by this. I have El Shaddai. Yeah, but you don't understand. Everything's falling down around you. I don't care. El Shaddai will fix this. How long is it going to take? I don't know. El Shaddai will fix this. The angel provided for him. God didn't just provide money that we needed immediately. He provided all the money we needed the next week to pay some more bills and buy more groceries. He is the God of more than enough. When I would share the story, we waited a while. We shared the story because we thought maybe somebody would come tell us who did it. After we shared a while, all I got was, who did it? Who did it? I don't know. And then one day it popped in my mind. Holy Spirit said, angel? Oh. You say, well, angels don't do that. Oh, you're wrong. They do. Angels unaware, folks. Angels unaware. Study the word. Now, let's go back a couple of chapters. Two more stories with Elijah. Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning in verse 2. We're looking at a time when Elijah tells Ahab that it's not going to rain. There's going to be no rain for 3 years. He said his thing, and then God tells him to depart. We pick it up in verse 2. And the word of the Lord came to him, depart from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of Jordan. You shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. You know what? If God used ravens to bring you ribeye, would you turn it down? Some of you might. Oh, that nasty bird. How about just saying, God just provided. You know, we'll just put it on the grill and heat it up and kill all the germs. We're good here. Come on, ravens. Okay? So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and lived by the brook Cherith that is east of the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Can we be in awe of El Shaddai? Well, he did that for him. That was in the Old Testament. I live in a whole different world. No, God will do that for you. Because El Shaddai didn't die in the Old Testament. El Shaddai lives today. Who are we going to trust? Stay with me. I'm headed somewhere with all of this. Next story. Again with Elijah. A few verses down. Two verses. Verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." And she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die." Is that desperation? Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said. But first, make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterward, make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be emptied, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." And she went and did as Elijah said, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. Pastor Paul and Pastor Dwayne spoke some things to us last Sunday, and we're going to have to decide, do we believe in El Shaddai? By the word of the Lord. El Shaddai provided their provision, correct? Miraculous provision. They were ready to die, but he made sure they lived. You ever been in a moment where you felt like it'd just be better to go home? Come on. I'm the only one. Heaven's so real to me, there's days I'm like, did they be good? Just be good. Reach their end, and he provides for them. He brings increase to them. But here's the part we miss in the story. The increase came because they obeyed the leading of El Shaddai. Are we doing that? Elijah had to obey. The woman had to obey. And the increase came. There is increase waiting for you, but God is waiting on you to obey him with what he told you to do this first time. I knew it would get silent when I said that. Are we obeying God, or are we still trying to stay in control of things? God wants to bring increase. In the Lexham Theological Workbook, it says this about obedience. Obedience is a responsive action. It assumes that God has already acted. Ooh. Obedience is, I'm going to obey. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't see any change, but I'm going to believe because my actions are going to cause something to change because I'm obeying God. Already acted on our behalf, and that our fitting reply is to follow his will. Very often, He then promises further blessings. Would you like more than enough? Not just the need met, but more than enough? Obey God. It's hard to do that if you never spend time in His Word and you never spend time in prayer. You just say, I'm too busy to have a devotional life. You're not going to know. As Chris was saying at our men's community group, he said, I didn't realize I say it so often, but he said, there's always time. We just don't make time. We excuse the time out and say it's not there when it's always there. I like to say, take back your calendar. Isaiah 1:19 says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Exodus 23:22 says, but if you carefully obey the voice and do all that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. When does that happen? When I obey God. That's when it happens. Here's what we want to do. God, I need you to deal with my enemies, but don't expect me to do everything you tell me to do. Because if you're really a good father, you wouldn't expect all that from me. He expects it because he knows it's ruining your life. He needs you to follow him because he knows better. What? He's got way more experience than we do. My final statement today, your faith and my faith should stand and be based on the power of God. Should be based on who El Shaddai is. Almighty God, all-sufficient one. For he said, I am El Shaddai, the mighty God, almighty God, the all-sufficient God, and the God of more than enough. El Shaddai will do what he proposes to do on your behalf to provide your needs, overpowering all opposition. Will you trust in El Shaddai? Will you obey El Shaddai? Will you get out of the way and let El Shaddai be in charge of everything? He's all sufficient. It's not important that we get credit or glory for anything. The great joy is when you know you have obeyed God and got to watch what He did. We live in a society that it's all about us, and we've got to be pampered and promoted and patted on the back and all of these things. Here's what I want to do. You hang out with me long enough, what I want to do, I just want to promote and exalt and pat Jesus on the back. Great job. Great job. Thank you. You're awesome. I couldn't have done it the way you did it. This morning, decision has to be made. Is he going to be El Shaddai in your life? Really, that's the decision. Is he going to be El Shaddai in your life? Are you going to even allow him to be El Shaddai? That decision has to be made today. I know I've gone over a little bit, but this is too important. There are people in here right now that have needs, provisional needs. And I had to get all this out because somebody, for the first time, has got faith to believe for their miracle. Would you stand with me? That's an act of your faith. Maybe it's not something you do a lot. As an act of your faith, why don't you just reach your hands towards heaven and start reaching for that miracle and begin to worship El Shaddai. Thank him for being Almighty God, all-sufficient one. Tell him, I'm moving out of the way, God. I'm going to let you be in charge. Just tell me what to do, and I'll do it. I'm going to say it this way. Even if it hurts, I'm going to do it. If I don't understand, I'm going to do it. If it don't make sense, I'm going to do it. Because you said do it. I get out of the way this morning. And I worship El Shaddai. The all-sufficient, almighty God. You may be seated. Colin.